Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
4:01 on the clock. We got Cub coverage! Indeed. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby here, Gwynn and Chris. Yes, indeed. We are having a good old time. Greg Camarillo, our old friend, came and joined us. We talked a little NFL. We had Chris for 2 hours today. He's off
gallivanting in Bakersfield.
In Bakersfield, gallivanting. Does anybody gallivant in Bakersfield?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
How do you get through the weekend in Bakersfield? I don't even know what gallivanting means.
I don't know either. You should try to check the definition of that. We got a Gwynn versus the fans.
Okay, here it is already.
Give me gallivant.
Gallivant is an informal verb that means to travel, roam, or move about for pleasure, often with few worries or responsibilities. That is Chris.
I'm sure there's a lot of gallivanting then in Bakersfield.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes, there is. Chris, one of them right now. I can just see him skipping down the street right now.
Nonetheless, did we tell it? I'm pretty sure we did, but I have a very short-term memory problem here. Did we tell everybody about our schedules? I think Chris did.
We did. Yeah, we did. We're going to be off on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I actually, Wednesday is, it's weird. I don't really like Thanksgiving, Tony, and it's not about like.
What?
I'm just not a Thanksgiving food guy.
Thanksgiving, by the way, is not about the food. It's about the family.
That's the other part I don't like, because I have to spend time with the family. No, my brother and my sister-in-law, my brother's a firefighter, my sister-in-law is in emergency services, so they have to work on Thursday. So my mom had this great idea. I hope she's not listening right now, because she's going to be very upset. She had this great idea that we're going to do Thanksgiving on Wednesday. And I was like, what?
That's actually not Thanksgiving.
I know. I was working. I go, Mom, I'm working that day. And she was like, and so then I dropped this, Tony. I think I told you this.
Oh, yes. This is certainly a comment that comes from someone that has siblings, specifically younger siblings.
Yes, it was. Well, it's cool that you care about Eric's schedule, but you don't care about my schedule.
You're such a child, dude.
And I said it in like. Because I'm not that crazy anymore.
You don't even need to explain how you said it. I can hear you saying it right now.
As I'm walking away, just like, well, glad you took care of Eric's schedule, but you don't pay attention to mine.
I hope your brother's listening right now.
I hope he is, too, because he hasn't heard any of this. But, yeah, so we're doing Thanksgiving on Wednesday, which is like, what do I do on Thursday? I guess watch football without all the worries.
I think everybody will be able to watch football without any worries.
Well, there's no like because Thanksgiving.
Let me
ask
you a question.
Typically,
what time does your family sit down to eat?
Like 2 or 3. Sometime like around the middle of the Cowboy game. Usually,
yeah, that's always the plan.
Yeah,
every Thanksgiving.
What about you? I mean, do you? It doesn't happen.
It never happens.
Two
o'clock is always the goal. It can vary. I've had dinner at 2, 5.
Oh man,
6. You know, when you were younger, you used to wait all day to eat. Like I'm starving, and then
and
by
then
the time
you
get there, your stomach shrank. It's eating itself. You're not even hungry at that point.
I can't imagine eating Thanksgiving at 5.
Yeah, no. It's, the goal this year is 2 o'clock. Again.
What's your plan? Just
we are actually mini hosting. My sister's not coming down, so she'll be back east. But an uncle, a couple cousins, nice. My mom. You know, so yeah, it's a little bigger than normal. I mean, 6 for us is the norm for us. That's our family, or normal 6. Yeah. But a few more people, it'll be fun.
Thanksgiving, maybe I don't like it because it's always been like 50 to 75 people in my family.
That used to be what it was.
Okay.
You know, when my dad was around, that was everybody came to the house to kind of do Thanksgiving. It's changed a little bit over the years. But yeah, I recognize the kind of angst that having the big Thanksgiving can give you.
And my grandma just did it every year.
My grandma did it every year. They didn't even want help, by the way.
Diego so. Drip first says, I'm thankful for this show, 97.3. We're thankful for you, Diego Drip. He says they also eat at like 8 p.m., but this year they're going to try to make it happen earlier.
Definitely. 8 o'clock might be a little late, but I've definitely gotten to that 6:30 range before back in the day as well. But
Nate says, is Tony doing ox tongue this year?
Not tongue.
It's ox tail.
I don't know what ox tongue is. But oxtail will be in play once again. It's in play every Thanksgiving.
Here's another great point by TRM1. Nobody actually ever sits down at a table. We all graze and or park on the couch all afternoon.
That's true. Now, my mom was a stickler for that, making sure people were sitting down, not standing up and kind of hovering and eating. Because, you know, with football games going at our house back in the day, that – if it wasn't no ground rules laid down, that's exactly how dinner would have taken place. Around the football, around the basketball, whatever was on that time, it's usually how it would go. So
I can't. Yeah, I used to get so mad when they would do dinner in the middle of the Cowboys game, and
like the Cowboys?
No, when I was a kid, I just was. I'm still kind of psycho about football. I'll watch any game, and I wanted to watch every single minute of those games. And it doesn't really matter. The Cowboys games always kind of stink anyway.
Yeah,
this year it's Tommy Cutlets and Cooper Rush.
That's going to be a doozy.
That's going to be a doozy.
Tommy Cutlets. He's going to sling it around a little bit. All right, let's play some Gwen versus the Fan.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Real quick, Tony, a question from Alejandro. Where do you get your oxtail from?
I think I went to Iowa Meat Farms last year.
I've never heard of it.
What?
Yeah.
See, if you went to San Diego State, you know about
why.
Because that's where a lot of people go to get whatever they're going to grill. Well, back in the day when you used to go to Qualcomm and grill out before the game.
Okay. That's cool.
It's one of the spots you go to.
Man, Qualcomm's
great
tailgates.
Carne asada there.
We brought it up like a week ago, but the tailgates before Aztec games were just
It was
amazing.
Built for tailgating.
It was. It really was.
That's what I do miss about the old stadiums. Is that they built the stadiums, I feel like, with that in mind. Like, they just wanted a gang of parking, which only leads to tailgating.
To tailgating and people going and paying for parking. But now it's like, let's save space. We don't want anyone tailgating in our parking
you
lot.
You guys will figure parking out. We just need the stadium.
We're going to price out the yokels that tailgate. So, all right. We still have a few lines open. 833-288-0973 to play Tony and Gwen versus the Fans. The rules, you have to make it through 3 questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Tony gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Tony gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first time player, let us know before you get into it, and you'll get the first question for free. Chris versus the Fans, or Gwen versus the Fans, whatever is being played, is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. Now, I need to read the prize. You will be qualified for a chance to win the grand prize. A 2-night stay at Westgate Las Vegas, 2 tickets to Soul of Motown, and $150 food and beverage credit. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations. Also, the award-winning Soul of Motown is a high-energy concert-style musical tribute celebrating Motown legends. Tickets at WestgateResorts.com. All right, let's get our first contestant. Got to do a little finagling on my dock to make sure.
Do your finagling.
I'm doing,
meaning,
you know, Windows button, right key. There we go. It moves everything to the right automatically. Let's go with our first contestant, Javi.
What's up, Javi? Jinx.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Well.
Pretty good. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Who was the winning quarterback in last night's Thursday night football game?
Just the preacher Wednesday.
That dude,
by
is,
the way,
he needs to be a preacher.
Jameis is probably one of the most unintentionally funny people on the planet.
Did you see the before the game interview?
Did I see it? Of course I saw. First of all, he looked genuinely excited to be playing in a snow game at the beginning.
Oh,
of,
yeah, he was.
He was pumped.
He was like, this is football weather.
He was like getting lost.
We're
in
blessed
like,
for this.
Right? I love Wisdom, man. That dude is just so positive all the time, even when he shouldn't be.
Was there a point where he became this guy, or has he always been this guy?
I think he's always been this guy. It's just been a little maturity has been mixed in on top of it.
That
he
makes
was a little,
sense.
He was this guy and immature at times before. Now it seems like the maturity part has kind of kicked in, and this is like a better product.
I loved when his battery pack and his helmet fell out, and he was just like, hey, he was like holding me. He's like, I can't hear. Oh, wait, I can't hear. And the battery pack is just hanging over my eyes right now. All right, good stuff, Javi. Here is question number two. Who won NFL Defensive Player of the Year last season?
Nick Bosa.
I wish it was Nick Bosa.
This was part of the reason why my man for Cleveland was talking the way he was talking after the game. What's the defense?
Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett.
He loves dinosaurs.
He loves. He's another interesting character.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
But not as interesting as Jameis.
No. not as all. Not at all. I think it's T.J. Watt is the answer. But this is why Miles Garrett was kind of talking about being the guy for, you know, best defensive player,
yes,
best defensive end, sack guy. He was pointing out, they, by the way, both guys have tremendous amount of respect, it seems, for each other.
Yeah.
But T.J. Watt was the winner last year.
He was. And I think Miles Garrett has a good opportunity to win this year.
He does.
Because he was all he over was, the place
I,
last
I,
night.
I don't know if they released first, second, third place votes, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was second in that voting last year.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. All right, let's go to our next contestant, Victor. Hello, Victor.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Good, Victor.
Pretty good. You ready to play?
Oh, yeah, ready.
All right. What were the Washington Wizards named before they became the Wizards?
They were the Bullets.
The Bullets is correct.
Nice.
Honestly, that could be a number two question because it's
not
been
easy.
So long since
it's
that
been
happened.
A little bit.
All right, so here we go, Victor. Question number two. This, I think, is going to be really tough. This might even be a question number three, but I'm going to ask it anyway. There are two names that are tied for tallest player in NBA history. Both were 7 foot, 7 inches tall.
I'll give you another clue. Both played for the same organization, too.
Oh, so Tony already knows who these people are. Name both, Victor.
Name both of the tallest players.
Is this a one of two, you think,
this
Tony?
This is probably a name one
okay,
of two.
Okay, let's name one
I
of
know
two.
It, Yao Ming, and I know it's not Yao Ming, though.
Don't say his name, then.
And the second, I'm not sure. Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry about that, Victor. We're going to have to go to Tony, and Tony already knows, apparently.
Yeah, I do, because I'm a basketball nut. Manute Bol was one, and I believe George Mirasan was the other.
Correct. Manute Bol. I saw him play when he played for the Warriors, and it amazed me.
Now, his son is in the league right now. Bol Bol.
Is he any good?
He's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
What team does he play for?
I think he's still with the Suns.
Let me look up Bol Bol. He is, yeah, Suns. And he was an Oregon Duck. He's 7'3".
Yeah. He was doing, and to Shaq's credit, he pointed this out a while ago. He said that Wembanyama was just a more consistent Bobo, and he turned out to be right. Bobo had some games like that last year, but he just doesn't do it on a close to nightly basis.
Who do you think was better, Manu or George Mirason?
Oh, you know what's funny? Ironically, I can't remember any of their games, like how good they were.
I just remember Bowl the one was I
little
went
bit,
to.
Manu Bol was a little bit, you know, I was super young. George Mirason was, you know, playing around the time where I think I could remember something, but I don't really remember both of those guys. I don't remember their games, per se.
Hold on. I'm being
Are you getting questioned right now?
I'm being told, no, not about the height, but about the... Oh. Wait.
About the what?
The Defensive Player of the Year.
What?
Didn't they say all last night that T.J. Watt was coming off winning Defensive Player of the Year?
Was that not correct?
Defensive Player of the Year went to Myles Garrett.
Oh, I guess we got that one wrong. I thought it was T.J. Watt, too.
I mean, I thought they said it like 100 times last night. I didn't even look it up because of that.
Going off of last night. I was going off what I thought happened last year, but maybe Myles, you know what, as I look at it right now, Myles Garrett is correct. So...
Now you look at
it. It's not my job to look. It's your job.
I was just going off of what they said on TV, but I heard it wrong, apparently. T.J. Watt.
Did my man guess Myles Garrett, by the way?
I don't know.
I don't think he did.
I don't remember.
You've got this game in a conundrum
right now.
Anyway,
we got to keep going.
It's 4-16, by the
way. I know. 4-16, we got to go tiebreaker.
Okay.
I'm really upset with myself.
How about George Mirason, since we're on the subject?
Okay, sure. I'm really upset with myself on that one. Really.
To be fair, I thought it was T.J. Watt, too, but you're supposed to tell me that I'm wrong, not right. So that's on you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. All right, tiebreaker. I kind of want to go hide in a hole right now. I feel really stupid.
Everybody's watching you right now.
I know, and I'm turning red. Can you see me turning red? If you ever want to watch us on YouTube, just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. You'll see my face bright red right now because I feel like I'm a good football guy, and I got it wrong.
Yeah, you're not a good football guy, apparently.
Okay, let's go to David.
David, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, guys.
David, are you familiar with the tiebreaker?
Absolutely.
All right. George Mirason, buddy.
Yes, thank you, Easy Money says, Scraby, it happens. It's not your fault.
It is his fault. Don't tell him that, Easy Money.
Man. See, Easy Money is
easy
good.
Easy Money,
because...
don't lie to him.
Hey.
Don't lie to him.
I already am going to take this one home with me tonight and all weekend. I hate when stuff happens on Friday because I think about it all weekend. All right, George Mirason, David, I'm going to put you down here for a second. Wow, I didn't realize he only played 6 years.
Yeah, he didn't play very long.
All right, let's go with this question. How many blocks did George Mirason have in his career?
250.
250. David, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'm going to go with higher.
Higher. You are correct! Get me out of this game as fast as possible. Stay right there, David. He had 455 blocks. That's basically what he did.
He was a shot blocker.
Let's see what his career average for points was. 9.8.
Yeah, he wasn't much of a scorer.
No.
All right, let's get to break. On the other side, the Tampa Bay Rays have a bit of an issue.
It's getting
with
worse.
A new stadium, and it does not look well. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Here's
some traffic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Short segment after the debacle of the Gwen versus the fans. Some wrong answers can make a segment go sour very quickly.
I don't care about me and my embarrassment. I do care if I messed up the player, which I don't even remember who they guessed.
TJ Watt. Oh, who did they guess?
Yeah. Did they say Myles Garrett?
I hope they didn't.
I hope they didn't either. If you did.
Chat, tell us. I know you guys remember.
If you're out there, contestant, and you're angry with me, I understand. Just give us a call and tell me that I got the defensive player of the year wrong, and we'll get you on.
Yeah, that's all he can do for you, because the whole getting signed up for that grand prize, can't do it. You already lost it. So you can take that on Al Scrapey as well when you call
I will give you a spot in the tournament one more time.
Oh, man. All right. Cheese, before we went to break, Tampa Bay Rays. Could be some trouble. Before we get to that little trade that went down.
Yes, we're looking at all the tender, non-tender stuff. The Padres tendered a contract to Tyler Wade for $900,000. A trade went down, though, between the Reds and the Royals. And I actually thought about this guy for the Padres, but I never brought it up because I didn't think they would acquire him. Jonathan India going to Kansas City with Joey Weimer, and the Reds get KC pitcher Brady Singer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm straight. From my standpoint of if I would want Jonathan India.
Yep.
I like our team, the guys we have, better. I think this goes back to what we talked about when Chris asked, well, why wouldn't they just not offer him a contract? Reds clearly knew that they were looking to move India, but they didn't just let him walk away for free. They tendered him the contract. He's still arbitration eligible. So he'll go to the Royals now. He'll be arbitration eligible there. And then they can, you know, work out whatever deal they want. But you need the leverage by tendering him the contract so that you can then make a trade, as we saw the Reds do here.
Cesar reminded us who he guessed, and thankfully it wasn't TJ Watt.
Okay.
It was Nick Bosa.
Okay. Woo! You're lucky, buddy.
Yes, I am lucky.
You didn't cost him an actual shot.
Yes, yes.
You just had more misinformation. It's all good, though.
So that is the trade of between the Royals and the Reds. I've been looking to see if the Padres have been able to, if there's any more news out about the Padres, but nothing yet.
Trust me, the deadline
is 5
if
p.m.
If the Padres had decided not to non-tender those guys, we would definitely know.
What we're finding out, the deadline for the Padres and all of Major League Baseball to send a tender contract to these guys is 5 p.m. today.
Right.
We're finding out who has accepted those.
Exactly.
And the acceptance of a tender deal is like a different date deadline.
The arbitration hearings. Once they tender the contract and they to whatever player, now they have between that time and sometime. I don't know if you guys remember last year, guys were going to the arbitration hearings like as spring training was already underway. So all the way up probably through February that they'll have a chance to come to a midpoint, an agreement, so that they don't actually have to go to the arbitration hearing. Because we know in the arbitration hearing, feelings can get hurt because the team is trying to keep your price tag down. The player is trying to get his price tag up. So it's in really both interests to try to come to an agreement so there's no hard feelings that could get rubbed the wrong way.
Yeah, but they have a little bit to decide the player whether or not they want to accept that.
Right.
Okay.
No. player does not have a...
Sorry.
They do not have a chance. They have a choice in accepting the tender.
I'll keep it straight. Okay. I've said that twice today. I am spiraling out of control right now. Everybody
are.
Forgive me, okay? I'm spiraling. The Rays.
The Rays. Okay, so the Rays are experiencing what I think we have become used to as it pertains, especially here in San Diego. Maybe not with the baseball team, but certainly with the football team that left. Team and city have to be on the same page to make this work. And it certainly seems like in Tampa, that is not the case.
Not the case.
The hurricane came through, destroyed that stadium. They've already figured out where they're going to play this season coming up. There was a counseling meeting. I think it was
there's been a bunch of meetings between the team and the city as of late. City of St. Petersburg.
City County of St. Petersburg initially agreed on whatever money it was needed to fix the stadium.
They were going to put, we're just talking about fixing the stadium,
right?
That was just damaged.
Right, because remember, a couple days ago, they decided that
whatever bonds were
going to be put on hold.
Yes.
So this is a whole nother situation. This is just about the stadium they currently reside in. And they initially said that that was not going to be the case. Now, apparently this has implications not only for the old stadium, but also the new stadium. That is going to be pushed back as well. And now all of a sudden remember, this Tampa Bay thing was a dumpster fire at first, and it seemed to have all come to a head and they had figured things out. It's back in the dumpster fire category, apparently.
It certainly is back in the dumpster fire category. I feel bad for Rays fans. They just want to see their baseball teams, kind of like A's fans. But Rays fans haven't left yet, or the Rays haven't left yet, so they still got their team. But I'm telling you, Major League Baseball has to help. Somehow.
They want, it's in Major League's best interest to not have this.
I get it. Not have
this go as bad as it looks like it's going.
Do
right
they
now.
Want two teams playing in my or minor league fields? That's what they're going to have next year.
They're going to, and you know what? I think it has tentacles a lot longer. Remember, we talked about the collective bargaining agreement coming up. I promise you, that place in Sacramento, in terms of the players and visiting teams, it's going to be an issue, at least in the beginning. Hopefully, after some work, they'll get it right. But initially, I promise you, it's going to be a headache. In the same way that it's probably going to be, and probably a little bit lesser because, as I explained a couple days ago, the Yankee spring training facility is at least has, you know, it's handled big leaguers.
It's got money involved
for
in
at
it.
Least a month of, yeah. out of the year every
yes.
season, or
yes.
2 months out of the season every year. So it doesn't look good in Tampa right now, and I'm sure this is the last thing Rob Manfred really wants to be dealing with. He thought this was the one that was done. Now both of them, I mean, the A's and Rays are back on his problem child play table.
Yes, yes, they are. And I like to see Rob Manfred, as Jesse said, put his little thinking cap on.
The visual.
The visual is great, of him putting a thinking cap on, like a cap with a light bulb or something. But, yeah, the Rays are in trouble.
All right, let's get to break. On the other side, a big five on deck. 4:37 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Got a big five on deck headed your way. First, let's check traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, well, I think we got some pretty interesting topics in the Big Five today. I'm sure you guys will let me know if I'm wrong as we go through all of this, but I think we'll start with this one.
Number five.
And it's about the Baltimore...
Are we fighting over the nicknames of baseball teams today?
No, we are not, because there are many animals in the baseball world that don't hold a candle to, like, a Diamondback or something like that. But good question, Chris. Good question. I will have to come up with something over the weekend. We were talking about the Orioles because they're doing something that Michael Kay is going to be very, very happy about, and they're going to bring in their left field wall and they're going to also make it shorter. According to reports, some areas are going to be pulled in as much as 20 feet and others 11 or at a maximum of 9 feet. A rendering shows the wall lowered from 13 feet to 8 feet. The Orioles did say they maybe went a little bit too far the first time with their left field renovation, but they wanted to find a better happy medium. Now, Petco Park over the years has undergone some transitions with their fences. So, Chris, would you want to see any part of Petco Park's outfield changed?
I don't think so. I think the renovations they made have worked out pretty well. I think Petco Park is honestly one of the fairest hitting parks in baseball. I know you talked about Michael Kay, and he's the voice of the Yankees.
Yes.
And I can understand why he would want the fences moved in, because the Yankees live and die by the home run, and that is something that they take great advantage of at Yankee Stadium, which has the smallest, shortest left field, shortest right field porch for sure in all of baseball. And I read a lot of reports last year that, I don't know, dozens of Aaron Judge's home runs would not have been home runs in other ballparks, including Baltimore, right? Mm-hmm, so, you know, I can maybe see why he wants to move him in, but I like a home run to still mean something. So keep Petco the way it is.
All right, Tony, would you want to see any part of Petco's outfield changed?
No. I mean, we're talking to the Judges and the Sotos. They're not hitting wall scrapers most of the time. There might be a handful of homers that, you know, may make a difference. I think a place like Baltimore, which has kind of notoriously been super shallow early, and then kind of they built up a bigger wall to kind of answer for the short homers they were giving up. I think ballparks in general are moving to a more fair stance than maybe they were during the steroid era, where it seemed like the fences were getting closer and balls were flying out faster or at a heavier pace. So no, I don't need to see Petco changed at all. I think, as Chris said, the changes that were made were changes to make it more fair. Remember, Petco Park was a graveyard for a long, long time, and then the skyline changed. They brought the walls in, and now we have a much fairer ballpark.
It's very weird how all that makes. You know, right? It makes a difference.
There is some science involved in it.
Yes, absolutely. Number four. Now, Shohei Ohtani won his third MVP yesterday unanimously and his first MVP in the National League. He won the AL MVP award in 2021 and 2023, both unanimously when he played for the Angels. He's the first player in Major League history to win the MVP award unanimously more than once. He also joins Frank Robinson as the only players to win the award in both leagues. So, Tony, is there anything else he has to prove in his career, Shohei Ohtani?
Not necessarily, but this game is all about longevity and how consistent you can be in that time. And so as however long he ends up playing, if he continues to play at a level that he's been playing at, he's going to go down as one of the greatest, maybe the greatest player ever. But I think it does fall, or else you'll have to throw the caveat, like, in this stretch of time, he was the greatest. I mean, if you want to eliminate that, it's got to be for almost the full length that you play that you are a highly productive player.
Chris, what do you think? Is there anything left for Shohei Ohtani to prove?
I mean, how many Cy Youngs does the guy have? Come on. I mean,
I think the answer is zero.
Yes.
Okay.
What's the matter with this guy? He doesn't have a lot to prove, but I agree with Tony 100%. If Shohei Ohtani retired tomorrow, would he automatically go into the Hall of Fame because he's been dominant for 4 or 5 years? I don't know that he's honestly done enough, you know, to warrant an immediate inclusion in the Hall of Fame. Now, he's been maybe had the greatest 4 or 5 year stretch of any player, but I think he's got to do it for longer if he wants to ascend to the all-time. So I think he does still have stuff to prove. He's got to keep doing this for much more time.
Well, I think he needs to go 70-70 or
he needs to create his own another new club for himself.
Yes, that's what he needs to do.
He's too lonely in the other one. He wants to be even lonelier in 70-70.
He doesn't even have his dog Decoy with him in the 50-50 club. So
yeah, sorry Decoy. Sorry, you didn't do it.
Decoy always makes himself the center of attention, which I'm all for because dogs should be the center of attention.
Or we make Decoy the center of attention. Decoy just could be doing what dogs do, and
do we actually believe that Decoy is his dog, or is it just a plant?
I'm not even going to address that.
You know, yeah, I think a better question is, Libby Dunn really Paul Skeen's girlfriend, or is she just a man?
No, I believe that. I believe that they're together. I do. George Pickens has had some ups in his career, and he's also had some downs in his career. There have been things on the field. There have been things off the field. This one is on the field. Last night during the Thursday night football game, Russell Wilson heaved a Hail Mary, and instead of trying to catch the ball, he was fighting with a Browns defender in the back of the end zone. After the game, he said, quote, the conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all, end quote. But my question is this. Chris, is this different from Bears defender Tyreek Stevenson talking trash to the fans instead of defending the eventual winning Hail Mary for the Commanders?
Well, I know what you're talking about, and I saw the replay, obviously, a few times, as best I could, looking through the snow. The defender on the play really did a great job of kind of boxing him out.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Denzel Ward.
He got between Pickens and where the ball was going to land, and he kind of just rooted him out of the back of the end zone. Now, you know, whether or not that could be considered pass interference or not might be another matter, but I thought it was just a really good job by the defender. Pickens really had no choice but to try to grab hold of him and work his way back to the football. He just couldn't do it, and I think that's one of the reasons he was so upset after the game, and he ended up getting into a little skirmish over by the stands, and thankfully, cooler heads prevailed, because I could see George Pickens starting to throw punches with fans, and that wouldn't be a great look. But his comment that the Browns are not are a terrible football team just proves how dumb George Pickens can be, because they play the Browns in 2 weeks, and I just, you know, for any athlete to say something like that about an upcoming opponent just is... You know, it seems silly to me, but you know, that's George Pickens for you.
So you're saying it's different from what Tyreek Stevenson did?
Oh, yeah, I never answered your question, did I?
No.
I do. I think he was honestly wanted to make an effort. I think the other guy made a better play. I mean, the guy in Chicago was just being an idiot. An idiot throughout the whole play.
That's
George
true.
Pickens didn't pick up being an idiot until he went to, you know, to fight with the fans.
Tony, is this different from Tyreek Stevenson?
Yeah, it's not the same. Tyreek Stevenson was not participating in the play as the play was going. And then he ends up tipping the ball up to allow his team to lose. So that's different. As Chris said, Pickens was involved. He wanted to make the play, probably frustrated that the play went down the way it did. Him and that corner had been tussling, really been all game long.
Yes.
And so, you know, frustration. The Steelers boxed a couple opportunities, and I'm sure all that played into it. And, you know, I think as Chris said, it's probably best that cooler heads prevailed, because if it would have stayed out there longer, I'm sure George would have continued down the path he was on. As for his comments, I mean, I think they're more stupid because they just lost to that terrible team, as opposed
to
him playing.
The conditions played the part.
They definitely did. I definitely believe the conditions definitely played a part, but nonetheless, his statement
is played a part for everybody on the field.
Right, his statement is true. The Cleveland Browns are a bad team, but you don't get to say it when you just got beat by them.
All right. Whoops.
Number two.
Okay,
what is going on here?
Didn't mean to hit that one. Number two. Sorry about that, everybody. ESPN is giving...
User error.
Yes, user error indeed. ESPN is giving the former Philadelphia Eagles star Jason Kelce and current Monday Night Countdown analyst his own late night show, which will debut in January and film in Philly. They're going to call it They call it Late Night with Jason Kelce. It's going to air on ESPN at 1 a.m. during the Friday-Saturday overnight hours. It's going to start January 3rd, January 4th. It will also stream on ESPN Plus and on the ESPN app. And Jason Kelce is also going to put it on his YouTube channels. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. No one cares. Significantly expanding its reach. ESPN has picked up 5 episodes of the show. Episodes slated for February 1st. So, Tony, will you check this show out?
Yes, I probably will check this
really?
Out. I like Jason Kelce. I think that he is a, I think he comes off as very authentic. I think he's funny. And I, you know, I think as a lot of guys who are leaders of teams, they probably have something to say that, you know, we could maybe pull from a little bit at some point. I think he's a great storyteller too, more importantly, which, you know, when you're putting on a show like this, you kind of be able to do a little bit. I'll give him a few episodes to check it out, and if, you know, I would love to support Jason Kelce.
Okay. Chris, are you going to check it out?
What time did you say it airs?
Well, it airs 24/7 on ESPN Plus and ESPN app, but it airs actually at 1 a.m. on Friday night.
It's a little late for me, but...
No, it's not. I've seen emails come in at like 12:30 with Good, Bad, Ugly. It's not too late for you.
I might be able to wake up in the middle of the night and catch the end of the show. I just don't know if I can stay awake to see the beginning of it. I think this is an interesting idea. I mean, you know, look, the networks have all had the late night shows and had great success with them, right? I mean, from Johnny Carson to Leno to Letterman to, you know what you have today, Jimmy Kimmel and everybody. ESPN's never had a show like this. I expect it to be similar to one of those late night talk shows.
It is. He's going to have a band and everything.
Yeah, have a little band and have some sports personalities and celebrities come out and do interviews and have some crazy sketches. So, yeah, I think it's about the only thing ESPN hasn't really done yet. So I like it, and I think he's a good choice to be the guinea pig and see how it works out.
You guys are disgusting me with your positivity over here.
Wow.
What are you just anti this whole idea? I mean,
no, I never said anything about that. I'm going to, you know, if people want to enjoy this, people can enjoy this. I have no problems with Jason Kelce.
But you're on us for our opinions because
you guys were like, "Oh, this is the greatest idea I've ever heard."
That's not what we said. That's not what we said. That's what you heard, but it's not what we actually said.
The greatest idea in the entire universe.
No, it does not beat sliced bread, but it's close. It's close.
All right. We'll see about that.
Number one.
Now, this is a me topic, but we talked about Shohei Ohtani's 50-50 ball being displayed in Taiwan. And since today is the 61st year since JFK was assassinated, I saw this piece of memorabilia, I guess. Can you have memorabilia from an assassination?
I don't want it.
Floating around. It's not from the assassination, but I wanted to know if you guys think it's different. It's a ticket to the final thing that JFK ever did, a breakfast at Hotel Texas that morning at 8 a.m. There's not many tickets left, and so this has been, there's one out there that's in mint condition. Are you guys curious to know what he had for breakfast that morning?
I'm sure you're going to tell us.
Yes, thank you for asking.
We've come this far.
5 minute egg. This is exactly how his valet ordered it. 5 minute egg boiled, crisp bacon, orange juice fresh, coffee with hot milk. He wants hot milk with preference to cream. Toast with butter on the side, and he particularly wants orange marmalade.
This was long before my time, but I knew there was something about JFK that him and I were on the same page. Crispy bacon, that's... You can't have the bologna bacon out there. You know what I'm saying?
The limp bacon.
Don't want limp bacon.
I believe crispy. That Jackie Kennedy asked for his bacon to be broiled instead of fried or whatever they used.
That was what they did. Probably just try to stay a little healthy at that point.
You could be.
Broiled.
I say all this, guys, to ask this, Chris. Is there a piece of history out there that you would like to see? We talked about the 50. You guys wouldn't want to do it, but we never talked about one particular thing that you would want to see.
Yes, like a historical thing. I will say, well, you know, first of all, that I am a JFK fan.
And conspiracy theorist, yes.
Conspiracy, or whether it is a conspiracy or wasn't a conspiracy. And I got to tell you guys, I don't think there's a piece of that history that I would want to actually have and own. And I've talked about this before with the Ohtani ball. To me, stuff is stuff.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, I don't have a ton of interest in that. But having said that, I did, on a trip to Dallas one time, go to Daley Plaza, and where the assassination took place. And I walked down the road, I think it's Elm Street or Oak or something of that nature, the street where he was driving and actually was shot. And I went and walked to about as close as where I could imagine his car was when that happened. And I got to tell you guys, it was one of the freakiest couple of minutes of my entire life, just standing there where that historical moment took place. So to say that all of this stuff has no effect on me would be inaccurate. But as far as, you know, actual items from it, I've just never been a fan.
Well, I think you did answer the question. That is kind of a piece of history, that point in time. I think, don't they even have an X on the street where it happened, or did they remove
that? I don't
know,
but I think Chris is, what he's saying, though, points out to what we had talked about a few weeks back, which is stuff is stuff, but if you can give me, put me in the spot, or maybe give me that memory, that's a little bit different. Just having, you know, a ticket of what he ordered.
You know, it was a ticket to the breakfast, not his like.
I missed his order.
Not
up
the cook thing.
I got you. Either one. You know, that just becomes stuff. But Chris was moved not because of some stuff, but because he was in the particular place where it happened. So I just think that's completely different. To answer your question, no.
Huh. Okay. Jeez. Rain on all of our parades.
Well, you
here.
Said we were being too positive, so I wanted to instantly go the
other
way.
I can't. Beggars can't be choosers.
No, they cannot.
But yes, that's a place I really want to see one day, Chris, is the Plaza.
Yeah, it's an experience, and if you've read, and you remember I did the podcast last year.
Yeah, Rob Reiner.
You and I talked about, and, you know, I've read so many books about the whole JFK, and I think a lot of people have, so... To actually be there where it happened, it's quite a feeling, I will say.
All right, that's it for the final Big Five of the week. When we get back, tender, non-tender, deadline is happening for baseball. We'll update you when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.